are now talking with Pat McCormick from McCormick or McCormack. I want to get it right.
That's always the question. It's McCormack, but there's more McCormicks than Max. So I go by both.
Okay. Well, you are the host of the Golden Rage of Television YouTube podcast, which is available at youtube.com, Golden Rage of TV. And boy, what a wealth of information you're going to find when you guys go to this page. And what an interesting cat. I'm glad we finally get to talk to you, because I've been following you for quite a while, and I love watching your videos and learning stuff that I don't even know, or probably most of us don't even know, because you do some deep dives and you do it in a nice compact way, which is very digestible and can make people, you know, if you're interested, go find more of it. So again, couldn't be happier to have you. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm a fan of you guys too. Thank you, Alan Sanders and Walt Marie, for turning me on to Radio Labyrinth.
So have you done their show?
I have. I've done two Wilder rides, and boy, was it a wild ride.
Yeah. were both of them movies, or was one a movie and then one was just a free form?
They were both free. You know, well, they were just interviewing some guy that they thought was interesting. I don't know. I guess it was me.
Oh, it was so, you.
We have a lot of fun, because I also do BK on the Air every weekend. One segment there. And so we've just become great friends.
And we need to
all
talk.
All my friends are in Atlanta.
Yeah, you got to come visit and go to a Braves game next summer.
I'm planning on it.
So you're in Monterey, California. We were talking about that a little bit. And Clint Eastwood lives close to where you live. And we were like, the fascination for me of him being mayor of that little town is that he made a film there in the early 70s. I don't know exactly when it was, but Play Misty for Me, which is one of the creepiest movies I think I've ever seen from that era.
It's great.
Not gruesome, but it's really creepy.
Oh yeah. It's a scary movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it horror, but it's kind of psycho.
Yeah. Kind of. Especially if you're a disc jockey.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty funny. Well, I'm actually about 40 miles north of Monterey. So I'm in Santa Cruz, actually, which is famous for its beach boardwalk. There's been a lot of movies shot here, too. Lost Boys, Clint Eastwood, Sudden Impact was shot here. Attack of the Killer Clowns. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That was the one. Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
No, funny story about Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I had that video cassette out for, I think, a year, and ended up paying an awful lot of money to whoever I rented it from.
Oh, the days.
The days.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they were.
They shot the Lost Boys there. I always thought, for some reason, I always think that was Los Angeles, but I guess not.
No. All shot here. Matter of fact, I think I'm in it for like a millisecond. If you blink, you miss me, kind of a thing. So,
what scene?
With a rock band on the beach.
Oh, you're the good saxophone player.
Yeah. Believe it or not, that guy was a for real musician. He was in Tina Turner's band as the sax player. Forget what his name was, but no, I'm just one of the people in the crowd.
That's cool. So you grew up there and you were there in the film.
I think that was me. They tell me it is.
So, well, you have quite a fascinating resume, and like we're just getting to know each other, so these questions are going to jump around, and Dustin and Jeff, please jump in and interrupt whenever. But first and foremost, how did you become so interested in pop culture? And follow up to that would be, and what fuels your love for classic TV? Because you really embrace that tag, that 60s, 70s genre, especially.
Older siblings is the short answer. Loved TV. And one of them was really into TV. And, it was just by happenstance. I was there watching all these great shows very young, perhaps too young to really appreciate them. But thanks to syndication and reruns, I was like, wow. And of course, I would say the show was Star Trek. It resonated with me. Go figure. me and about a few million other people.
Right.
And how many movies later? So that's what really fired up my interest in classic television. Yesterday I dropped a video on the only strategically placed Star Trek episode, which was Cat's Paw. Mm-hmm. And when I write these, it's research. It's actually the hardest part for me is the writing of the episodes. But I consider myself such a Trekkie that I kind of trust myself maybe a little too much. And as I'm, after I've done my takes and I'm like, all right, I got it. And I was like, wait a minute. That guy was in a gold shirt, not a red shirt. And that just ruined that whole first part. So it's kind of like one of those things where I'm presuming maybe a little too much expertise of that show. But of course, I've seen them all 10, 20, 30 times a piece. So yeah, I'm an expert.
You get all the information in a really detailed way. But again, it's digestible. It's not a 1 hour. This is what happened. This is what happened. This is what happened. You get everything, and you do it in a way that's easy to digest. I watched the Munsters theme song. I can't play guitar. Munsters theme song, rock guitar arrangement. I thought that was pretty cool. I love those little nuggets of things. So can you play that theme all by yourself and do all the little parts of it?
That is all me. Oh, in fact.
Oh yeah. But I mean, like, do you play it for other people? Do you play it at shows?
Well, when I was playing, I had a whole show. The Golden Rage of TV actually was a live concert experience. That was the plan, at least.
Okay.
A la Trans-Siberian Orchestra, assuming you guys may have heard of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So where they do Christmas music with, you know, a lot of visuals and great players, I thought, well, why don't I do it with classic TV themes? A lot of which translate perfectly to rock guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And that you will see in my music videos playlist on my channel, the multiple theme songs that I've actually done myself. So I was performing it. Yeah. And it was awesome.
What are some of your favorites?
Well, Get Smart was, man, that one always killed. Alfred Hitchcock Presents theme, which is actually called Funeral March of a Marionette. That always killed. I Dream of Jeannie. Things that, you know, now I'm just going through them all. They're all my favorite. Yeah. They all had to be my favorite. Perry Mason theme, really. Again, the Spider-Man theme, the Munsters, Lost in Space, all those themes that when you hear them, you immediately know what they are. They're almost like forgotten hits, you know, where everybody knows it, but they don't hear it.
My favorite of all time is the theme to the Rockford Files, but that's mostly just a Moog, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, great melody.
Yeah, yeah.
Great melody, memorable melody.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I got that out. You know, that was the thing, Mission Impossible. You would hear these themes come out, or the Wild Wild West, Bonanza, for Christ's sakes. I mean, you'd hear these themes and go, I know what's on. I got to get out of the kitchen and in front of the TV.
When you hear Barney Miller music coming on, you know it's time to put the dishes away and get in front of the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And that was some classy jazz. That stuff was, you know, again, I loved it when they really did the sophisticated stuff and all the stuff from the 50s, 60s, which is my favorite era, into the 70s. But then by the 70s, save for, you know, the Barney Miller themes or Cheers, which are just incredible, they just started getting a little schmaltzy, I thought. You know, they didn't put the budget into the songwriting. And
they started tapping into using songs that were popular in the 60s and 70s too, you know, Thank You for Being a Friend or Moving Out and stuff like that. I think the last one to me that really sticks out as far as sitcoms go probably be Night Court, because another one of that bass line at the beginning, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Right. That's Carol Kay. Incredible female bass player that shows up on all those classic themes, those ones specifically. She was Seinfeld.
So you're an actual television composer. You've done work on TV that's been used on television shows and stuff like that. Like I said, we kind of jump around a little bit.
Please be my guest. That's what my brain does anyway. So
good.
yeah, I did. I was writing for a show called One Day With, which was on the Soap Network. And it was on for, gosh, I want to say about 4 years. And it's strange how that happened, because I was on General Hospital in the late 90s, early 2000s. as a guy that was in a band, and the band just happened to be a real band.
Oh, wow.
And we actually recorded albums, won an Emmy for the best song for daytime television. And so we took that one we ran that for 10 years. It was called Kurth and Taylor. Wally Kurth plays Ned Ashton Quartermain on General Hospital. And Justin Kourakis.
Yeah.
You can tell I watch my soap operas on Days of Our Lives. And he's been on for 35 years and still going. But what he did was he took a show where he spent one day with various soap stars. That's where the term one day with came from. And it like Disney, I was getting checks from Disney. It was like, wow, this is awesome. only $5, but
money. Where did your music career start? When did you decide that the guitar was going to be your instrument?
Well, very early on. I mean, at 13, I was like, I had a junior high teacher that put together rock bands with the students, and we would play at assemblies or, you know, we'd play in front of the school. So you'd get this catch the bug. I caught the bug from that. And guitar was simply because it is as good as being a lead singer in that you get as much spotlight easily. And for me, I could sing, but the Pat McCormick group, which I really, which got me some notoriety, it was all instrumental, like the classic TV theme songs. So I decided to get really serious about playing the guitar. Put the 10,000 hours in plus and became an expert, and it's done well for me. It's everything good in my life I can trace back to the fact that I did that and survived.
Nice.
And everything bad in my life goes back to when I quit guitar because I couldn't do a D chord.
That's a first sign. That's a good telling sign, because that's the first thing you need to learn how to do. Yeah.
Now you're really digging back. I remember when you couldn't hang out because you had guitar lessons, but that didn't last. So I think we've known each other since 1979, which is quite a run.
Cool.
So you toured with Ronnie Montrose, and how did that come about?
Well, like I said, I mentioned I had a group. It was the Pat McCormick group, and I had the really good fortune in the late 80s of being pretty much the go-to opening act for all the big rock acts that came through this pretty well-established nightclub here called The Catalyst. I opened for as many big names as you could think of. And Ronnie, I opened for him multiple times. And one time he actually watched, or he was there. And I just remember finishing my set and the sound man going, "Hey, Ronnie wants to meet you." And I was like, oh, this guy was one of my biggest influences. I mean, I was over the moon. And so he asked for my number, said, "Yeah, cool, I'll be in touch." 9 months later, I'd moved to LA, changed my number. I had no idea how he found me, but he gave me a call, and the rest was history. I came back up north and I played with him for about 4 years, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
That is cool.
Yeah. He's an icon.
Definitely. Guys,
it's funny how the music industry works like that. People think it's so much what you do and how far you go, but there's so much weight in who you know and who knows you and how much a phone call can parlay a career, as opposed to, you know, going out there and struggling hours and hours and hours and, you know, slogging in and out of clubs. And it's amazing how just the right person seeing you can set your career on fire.
It's true. It's true. And I wouldn't say it set it on fire, but it's certainly, well,
as a musician, I know that anytime you're in a trajectory, whether it be down or up, any of those things it will set you on fire one way or the other.
Well, it's true. And boy, was it inspiring. I mean, it fueled every aspect. I played more. I wanted to play more. I got better because I had to get better because he was great. So, yeah. And he shared the spotlight. That was the other thing. I wasn't shoved off to the side in the back. He really was generous with the spotlight. And that's just the kind of guy he was. And it was a wonderful man, and I miss him.
I would really, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I would really love to go to one of those shows where you do TV themes, because I would just be in hog heaven doing that.
Well, it worked, and I was happy it worked, because I had videos, I had a full on screens playing all the different shows and snippets while I was playing, and it worked. I kept the recording aspect of it going, and I would say it's been decades of playing in loud rock bands. My ears took a turn for the worst about 5 years ago. And I woke up one morning with tinnitus, just that you get, your ears are ringing after a loud concert, but it didn't go away. And a month later, I'm like, it ain't going away. And into the audiologist, and they went, hey, you have normal hearing, messed up, normal hearing. And that messed up was, unfortunately, the frequency, 4K-ish, of the guitar.
Yeah.
And so that's what had happened goes, was, I destroyed my hearing. And unfortunately, what that means for me today is that I'm also hypersensitive. I have what they call hyperacusis, which is a thing where if your ears hear a certain frequency, the tinnitus gets inflamed, for lack of a better term. And so guess what? That's rock guitar. So I have not been able to continue playing that genre, but I have picked up the nylon string guitar, the classical guitar, and it doesn't bother me. So it's become kind of my new, I can go play something. It's not passionate. The electric guitar, I really miss it. I mean, to be honest, I was in tears when I really came to the realization that I couldn't do it anymore because of the sensitivity, because it was an extension of my body. I could actually spontaneously speak with the instrument, or should I say sing with the instrument. Because I could do that, you know, it was more about how I could make it cry, laugh, attack, you know, every aspect or every element that you can think of as far as your emotions, I could channel into that instrument, which I think is why people like me, rather than just flash millions of notes and look how technically proficient I am. It was like, okay, you can do that with 1,000 notes. I can do it with 3, but give me 4. So anyway, it's all good. I would do it all again, as I've been asked before. Would you? Of course. It was amazing. So I'm a happy guy. And now I have the Golden Rage TV. So I'm a talking head, and I have just as much fun performing that. I have almost as much fun performing that way.
Tell us some stuff you have coming up on the show, and maybe a couple of your favorite episodes that people that aren't familiar with your channel should go and seek out.
Oh, that's a big question, because there's hundreds. And like Tim was saying, the way I do them is I call them hors d'oeuvres rather than a full meal.
Right.
And, you know, thinking about people's attention spans and all that. Well, you know, come to learn, YouTube absolutely despises me for that.
Why is that?
They want length.
Okay. Yeah.
Not shortness. And my videos initially were about just a minute. That way I could get them across format too. You know, I could put them up on Twitter. And so it became obvious that that didn't work. So what I've been doing in the last month, 2 months, is compilations. Yeah. Because I have such a vast library, I'm able to go back through the library and fit piece together in line, show a show or an episode all on the basic same subject, either of a show or of a genre of show. And it creates bigger videos, which again, YouTube and seems like the fans really like and appreciate. And so that's, I'm kind of experimenting with that. And right now I do my seasons. So I finished my third season just last week, and now I'm writing my fourth. And I'm also looking at autobiographies too, and doing kind of encapsulated talks on celebrity autobiographies. So that's what I'm working on now. And again, there'll still be a lot of the same stuff, snippets of, you know, a new look at your old favorites is what I like to call it. So there's stuff coming out every week.
Where do you find shows that you like to watch? What channels do you watch? Because I'm assuming that you will still watch shows that you've seen before. I still do.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's like, I'm not searching the old shows because I think I watched so much of it that it's not that I got sick of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, for instance, if I see Cozy has the Munsters on, I'm going to go there. You know, even though they seem to only have like 10 episodes. It's
they licensed those 10 episodes and that's all they play.
And it's like, come on, is it anybody watching this? That episode was on last week, you know, that kind of thing. But of course, you know, there was MeTV, which, you know, was standard. I was into that. I like Svengoolie, you know, I'm really into classic films too. Especially classic horror and all that stuff, all that fun, geeky stuff, you know.
I like Pluto. There's a channel on there. I don't know which it was. I was watching a couple episodes of the Paul Lynde Show, that sitcom he had.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one I had never seen. And it was this Japanese boss was coming over. So everything had to be just right. And it turns out Ray Walston is playing his Japanese boss and doing a Japanese accent. And I'm thinking, my God, TV was different 50 years ago.
Yeah, minus the antennas, I would assume.
Yeah. But it was still great. I love Paul Lynde. He was one of those guys that when I was a kid, he was the only reason for me to watch the Hollywood Squares or anything that he was on. I loved him on Bewitched. And I think have you ever spoken to the author that tweets about him all the time on Twitter?
No, hook me up.
She, he follows.
Another author that we had on our podcast is Lee Gambin. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called Tonight on a very special episode. That's a 2-volume book. It goes all the way back to the very special episodes of the 50s and 60s. It goes up to today on both volumes, but I recommend you check that out. It's called Tonight on a Very Special Episode.
Absolutely. I'm looking for material constantly.
Yeah. He's from Australia, but he's an interesting cat. You might get a kick out of talking to him.
He's an Australian that knows more about American television than 90% of Americans. It's crazy. Yeah.
You know, that's probably the case because those shows were broadcast all over the world. Mm-hmm. You know, these people weren't just American. They didn't have just American fame. They had worldwide fame. What's funny is some of them didn't know it, you know, until they travel abroad and be like, why is everybody looking at me?
And some of them definitely didn't get paid for it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's for sure.
It's a sad thing, but you know, it's for business.
Now I'm your videos, are amazing. And I really am impressed with like the editing and how you put it together. The little marionette version of yourself you use is really good. What's your basic format for putting your material together? You OBS or you, which program are you using?
My guy uses Adobe, I believe. And now that I've spilled the beans, I don't do the editing. What I do is the writing and the performing. That's about all I can get done. Because if I was had to be a triple threat, I don't know if I'd get one out every month.
Yeah, that was my question. That was going to be my question. How did you get this stuff out all the time? Because it looks so great. Kudos to your guy. He does a great job.
It's Christian Taylor. And he has been my friend since high school. And bandmate with Christian Taylor. And he wrote the song that won the Emmy for Kirthen Taylor, and he's just one of those guys, multi-talented, super analytical, kicks my butt constantly, and I don't mind. sometimes I mind, but at any rate, he's kind of been my guardian angel for most of my life. The person that pushes me, makes me aim higher, you know, just one of those. I can't imagine life without this friend. And he's in Nashville and I'm in here, like I said, in California. So unfortunately we don't get to see each other very much, but we have the ability to transfer files, and he's a master at this stuff. He really, really is. And as you said, so yes, I'll let him know you love it.
Please do.
What do you watch nowadays that catches your eye that's not classic TV? Are there any shows that you watch? And that
recommend? Baseball.
Baseball. There you go.
A lot of baseball. You know, what have I been watching? You know, there's you know, I'm really more into the streaming things and the bulk shows, and God, I really couldn't name one.
Did you get into any of the new Star Wars shows or Star Trek shows? I mean, like Discovery or Picard or any of those?
Yes. I liked Discovery. It's for some inexplicable reason, I just taper off. And the thing about that is once you do, you'll lose track of where everything is. It's right. Kind of like a soap opera, you know? I saw the first season of Picard and I liked it. It didn't mow me over like The Next Generation,
right?
Of which I am a huge fan of personally. Personally, I think that was the best continuation series. They kept doing it. And of course, the films have been great as well. So, yeah, no complaints in the Star Trek department. No, love it all.
I really enjoyed the Next Generation. And I was kind of sad that they stopped making movies. But I guess they reached a point where they didn't want to look like everybody did in Star Trek VI.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. But well, even though those are good movies, though, I thought six, all of them but the odd numbered. I don't know. I like the odd numbered ones, too. The only one I don't really care for is five, but of the originals. But they're all pretty good movies. And hell, it's Star Trek, so you're going to watch it.
Yeah, it's a working recipe, no matter what. It's going to work. If you screw up Star Trek, you're really messed up.
Oh, the thing. I even liked Enterprise. I thought the story arcs got better as the show went on. I think my favorite are the ones with Brent Spiner. What was that? That was the last season, maybe, or it was like a carryover. There was a whatever it was when they invented all the modified humans.
Yeah, he's a phenomenon, that guy. I like I said, I'm a huge fan of Brent.
I don't know if it would be considered classic TV, but Head of the Class is coming back on HBO Max. It's being rebooted.
Really?
By the guy that made Ted Lasso.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Would you consider Head of the Class classic TV?
It's an 80s show, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's 80s, it counts. Yeah. I go by the 30-year rule, personally.
Yeah.
So if it's 30 years ago, that's classic.
I'm a big Howard Hessman fan, so I enjoyed seeing him on another show.
Yeah.
Than WKRP.
Talk about a classic, right?
Freaked me out to see him without a mustache.
Yeah. Like, you know, see, as Tim displays how good it can look on somebody, I tend to think Hessman should have kept it.
He plays a chauffeur in one of those early 80s sex movies, Private Lessons, maybe?
Yeah,
he didn't have a mustache in that either. So I guess he only had the mustache for WKRP. But what a great show that was. We spoke to the people that do, what was the name of that podcast, Jeff?
The WKRP cast.
Yeah, that was a fun night. They know everything about it. And then there's the relationship that the show has with the city of Atlanta, you know, being a lot of the ideas came from a radio station here called Quixie, WQXI. I know that we jumped around and all over the place. And in our interview shows, we do try to keep them about a half hour, 45 minutes. But I would love to have you on again. And we want to support your show. So if there's anything you feel like we left out, or if there's anything you'd like to plug, I know you have not a Patreon, but you have Buy Me a Coffee, right?
Well, I'd love everybody to come check out my YouTube channel, which is Golden Rage of TV. Mm-hmm. And there you can really get everything. My music, my short episodes, some longer ones, the compilations. And I also talk about upcoming events. I'm good friends with Kathy Garver from Family Affair. And I just today put up a promo for an event, an appearance she's doing this weekend. So that's what I'm plugging. And of course, you guys know I'm on Twitter too at Golden Rage of TV One. Mm-hmm. And please follow and subscribe. Help.
When can people hear you on the air in Atlanta or in the market here?
BK on the air, WBHF in Cartersville, Georgia.
Yes.
Sounds like I work there. Well, I've been with him for over 2 years, and yeah. I don't think I've repeated an episode once in that time. Gives you an idea how many of these things I have. And so every Saturday morning, I'm on the air with BK, Barry King and Alan Sanders. And gosh, I love those guys.
We got to get Barry on the show sometime.
Yeah, we should get BK on here. I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah.
God, well, there just couldn't be nicer guys. Well, now I've met three other ones. But
well, if you ever get out this way, look us up. We'll all get together and have a beer or a cup of coffee or whatever it is that we all like. And definitely appreciate you coming on. Yeah, I do too.
And if you have some special episodes or something coming up, or like you just did the Halloween stuff, we'd be glad to share that around on our socials too.
Yeah, and then multiple compilations on the Halloween, the Addams Family and the Munsters. So by all means, and like I said, I'm hoping to break the fourth season after the first of the year. And then there'll be plenty of new material. Right. So, and awesome. Cat's Paw yesterday was brand new. So I'm like, okay, I need to lose a little weight. It's the holidays. Boy, good luck, right? Yeah.
All right. The YouTube page again is youtube.com/GoldenRageOfTV. You can follow on Twitter at GoldenRageOfTV, #1, and on Facebook, Golden Rage of TV. Thank you very much, Pat, for coming on the show. We can't wait to talk to you again.
Thank you, Tim. And thank you, gentlemen. Great to get to know you. And I'll see you again.